What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Pricks on Flicks with Vince and Chris. I'm Vince.
And I am Chris, and with us, as always, is our producer, Sretan.
I am Sretan.
Hey. Say the last name.
Jovanovic, Jovanovic, whatever your preferred pronunciation is.
Well, is Vince that like usually... Mila Jovovich or Jovovich?
Yeah, yeah.
Or...
yeah, Vince usually adds a couple syllables.
I do. I do the dodgeball, the chick from like the Russian country who was like
Stella Ingovanovich.
Yeah, I try to do that little joke.
Balls deep.
When she hit that dude with the dodgeball, I think that guy actually might be dead. Blazer, ball me. All right. So we got a good show planned for you today. Chris, hopefully. What are we going to talk about?
The post.
Like what goes in the ground? Or
yeah, just like a fence post.
That was my attempt at a dad joke. And like that was my Chris dad joke.
Anytime you want to make a pun, the worse it is, the better.
Okay.
Always Sam.
All right, also,
the post, and what was the other one?
Shameless. We're going to talk about the season finale of Shameless. We'll probably just give a quick recap of what we thought overall of the entire season.
The season wrapped up.
Yeah, the season wrapped up. We're going to talk about a new show called Waco about the city of Waco, Texas.
Miniseries.
Miniseries. It's the first episode aired last week.
I believe there's going to be six episodes in total.
Six-part miniseries. Great cast.
Yeah.
Great fucking cast. Did you catch a Black Mirror alum from this season?
I'm
Crocodile?
Sure.
Well, we'll talk about it when we get there. Yeah, but yeah, the main character of Crocodile is in Waco.
Okay.
And there was another movie. What is it?
Only the Brave.
And yeah, that was Josh Bonfork. Where do you want to start? You want to start there? Only the Brave?
Sure.
As always, as you Chris likes to point out, homework revisit, as always, at the end of the show.
Just in case you might forget about those.
Yeah, the others.
As a listener.
15 episodes.
Make sure you tune in through the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And we got I think we have a very, very, very good revisit. And I'm going to give Chris an excellent homework assignment. And he gave me one last week, and we'll talk about that one, too. All right, where you want to start? You want to start with Only the Brave?
I guess so.
All right. Spoilers, I guess. This is a true story.
I did not know much about this story.
Neither did I.
I remembered hearing about it.
I heard but nothing.
Never,
about it.
Never really looked into the story at all.
So, do we want to spoil? And I mean, I don't know if you can talk about this movie and not talk about what happens in it.
I don't think it's a spoiler.
Okay. Yeah. So Only the Brave is based on a true story.
Here's the thing. We're going to talk about whether we liked it first, and then we're going to move on to spoilers. And if you don't want the spoilers, jump ahead a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, we can do that. And first, you want to shout out brewing whatever?
All right, the beer we're drinking right now is from Brewlink Brewing Company, which is in Plainfield, Indiana.
Didn't know that was in Indiana last week when we drank it on the podcast last week. It's awesome. Indiana, homegrown.
This is an oatmeal stout called Ebony Stout.
Yeah. You gonna make the same joke? I like my beer like I like my women.
Ebony.
Which, nothing wrong with that.
You guys are full of jokes tonight. I'm gonna add some laugh tracks.
All right.
No.
Before we break, that reminds me of something. So before we get into Only the Brave, I want to bring something up. A lot of Facebook threads about what should I watch on Netflix. I mean, give some shout outs. I've been seeing a lot of people say The Ranch a lot. A lot of people are saying watch The Ranch. Are you familiar with that show?
I've heard it, but I know that Danny Masterson is in it.
Yeah.
And he got fired from Netflix, and it wasn't like a minor sexual assault thing. It was a big...
Yeah, I kind of didn't want to watch it for that reason, but me and the wife were looking for something, so she suggested it. So I was like, all right, I put it on. We were about 7 seconds in, and my wife goes, all right, ever since you pointed this out, I can't watch a show now because of a laugh track. Netflix show with a laugh track. It's the first one I've ever seen on Netflix with a laugh track.
Yes.
And it was just as bad as Two and a Half Men or Big Bang.
It's laugh track with cussing.
Yeah, it was terrible. I don't even know if I got to any swearing.
I watched a couple episodes, whatever. It's exactly what Chris says.
Yeah, we were literally probably no more than 10, 15 seconds in and turned it off because the laugh track had already gotten completely annoying.
That's awful. That sucks because I've heard nothing but good things about the show. But then I hear nothing but good things about Big Bang Theory and True. Two and a Half Men, too.
There's also that weed show, What's Her Face from Misery.
Kathy Bates.
She does the name of the show is a pun on smoking weed.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I remember when that show, before it debuted, they were like, from the people who brought you The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, really?
And Two and a Half Men comes. And I'm just like, well, okay, I'm changing the channel already. As much as I like Kathy Bates.
Another little off-topic thing.
Yeah.
I read something on Facebook today. How you know movies are going to be flops. And one of the points was, whenever they say, from the people that brought you, blah, blah, blah. Like, there was a movie, I can't remember what it was, but it was awful. Nobody went to see it. It was a terrible movie. And the one of the main taglines was, from the people that brought you Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And whenever they do something like that, they've got nothing good to say about the movie, so they're trying to say, hey, we did this, so this is going to be good.
Yeah.
There was a whole list of different things. Dump months, they call them, when movies are released in dump months. Which is getting a little done away with because
movies are coming out. Yeah,
we've got so many big blockbuster superhero movies.
Yeah.
That they're spreading them out, so it's kind of doing away with that dump month.
Right.
Thing.
We used to not have really good movies coming out in February and March, and now with Black Panther comes out,
and that was one
soon.
An exact one that they referenced when they were talking about the superhero movies being spread out. They talked about Black Panther.
But you used to have your summer, your award-type movies in January, in the beginning of February, and then you have your summer blockbusters. That's when your Avengers and shit would
and
come out.
And that's why Avengers is going to drop in May.
Right, and then in December, you'd have your end-of-the-year movies that would come out that were usually pretty good.
And January and February usually suck.
Right.
But it was a pretty decent read, but it's all kind of... every point they made, you could say, well, what about this and this?
Yeah, yeah.
They did a good job of bringing
exceptions
those
to the rules.
The exceptions, too. It wasn't bad.
Yeah. I'm super excited about Black Panther, just throwing that out there.
Yeah, me too.
I'm trying to keep my expectations low, but it's getting really, really
good.
Dude,
I found out Sterling K. Brown is in it, dude.
Who's that?
Isn't it? It's the guy from This Is Us. Isn't it him? I know Michael B. Jordan's in it.
I know Michael B. Jordan's in it.
Much and then Chadwick Boseman, but
Michael B. Jordan looked jacked, but it looks like he's wearing prosthetic, like body. I don't know if it's just
I don't know, dude. He was jacked in Creed, dude.
Yeah, he
jacked
was. In Creed. But in these previews, he looked huge.
See, and you have another Marvel character played by a former Marvel character, and I can't stand it.
Oh yeah,
he was in the new Fantastic Four.
Talking about flops, Fantastic Four was talked about. There, another thing was if you hear a lot of stuff about production problems throughout the movie, mm-hmm. that's a good sign that it's going to flop.
What do you guys think, though? Did you guys like World War Z? Because it was notorious for having production problems.
He said he liked it last week when we talked about Mark Foster, the director, and because he's directing
I didn't hate it.
A movie
and I enjoyed
coming
it.
Up.
I thought it was decent.
I thought it was okay. Could have been a lot better. I do like Peter Capaldi a lot. He was in that and World War Z.
In all honesty, I don't know. We'll talk about it when we get to our revisit.
Okay.
Because the type of movie.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. All right. Where do you want to start? Only the Brave.
Yeah, let's get back to that.
Did you like it?
Sidetrack.
Did you like it?
Yes and no. I thought it was I thought it was drawn out, kind of boring. There was another movie that we talked about in one of our other shows about... it took a long time getting there. Dunkirk was really long and boring. Nothing really happened, but it was a story that I thought deserved to be told. Now, this was a story that deserved to be told that was kind of long and boring and more impactful than Dunkirk.
Yes.
With the payoff, if that's what you want to call it.
Yeah. I really, really enjoyed this movie. I thought the acting was really, really good. This movie stars Miles Teller, Josh Brolin, Jennifer Connelly, Taylor Kitsch. Jeff Bridges? Yeah, Jeff Bridges. And this movie, I did the History vs. Hollywood, was pretty accurate as to what happened. There was some time issue things. Like you see Josh Brolin have this fight the day before they go out to this fire with his wife, Jennifer Connelly. And in real life... that was a bunch of different fights over the course of months condensed into one big fight. And then we see Miles Teller get into a fight with Josh Brolin outside of the bar.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen that day. It was over the course of a couple of weeks and things like that. And so they just condensed shit for time and stuff like that. So
understandable.
And so that's all understandable. The big thing was the snake bite. I didn't find it. History of Hollywood didn't say that the snake bite didn't happen. But the big thing was that Miles Teller was a lookout because he was recovering from a rattlesnake bite. And that wasn't true.
Okay.
That he was recovering from he had the flu or something like that. I don't know. But the movie was good. It's about hot shots, which are firefighters that use fire to fight fires.
Wildfire firefighters.
Yes. Let's not like, they're not like residential. Like they don't drive in fire trucks and stuff like that.
They California.
Or Arizona, Nevada, like wherever there's wildfires. Like these guys, they dig trenches and they catch stuff on fire to burn up the fuel before the big fire.
A controlled
gets there.
Burn. Yes. So that when the fire gets to that point, there's nothing left to burn. So it's not going to go that way.
Correct. And that's what hot shots do. And apparently it's a big process. Well, this is about the Granite Mountain hot shots. Yeah. They were the first hot shots that were municipal hot shots, meaning like a town, not just a group of guys like from different towns to make up one. These were all like a city fire department, but that specifically dealt with wildfires. And they were the first one in the country to ever do it. And
before we get into the spoilers, I liked it. I say watch it and skip ahead now because we're going to talk about the end.
Yeah. I really liked it. I say watch it as well. All right. So we'll go about 2 minutes on this and then skip ahead about 2 minutes. Let us know when 2 minutes is up, Sredden. All right.
So
everybody dies except for Miles Teller because he was the lookout. He was at a higher post and was rescued by another commander of another soup.
Yeah, he actually got in some trouble and it looked like he was going to be the one to perish.
Yeah.
And before this happened, leading up to this scene, leading up to them actually fighting this fire is like, yep, somebody's going to die. It's going to be Josh Brolin or it's going to be Miles Teller.
Yep.
And it turned out that there were 20 people on this team and
19
of them died.
Hey, dude, I was fucking heartbroken. And I know this is a true story, but dude, like when they all got
in the news like 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
Whenever it happened.
And that's the thing is that it totally missed me. Like Chilean fucking coal miners. I can tell you all about that, but homegrown fucking tragedy like that. And this was the biggest loss of firefighters in history, except for
9/11. Well, since
it said since, but it's except for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like 9/11 is number one. This is number two. And so this movie will break your fucking heart because
it
focused on only a handful of the guys in the crew. But you really got to know and really like a lot of the guys, like Taylor Kitsch's character, Mac. It was like you really got to like that guy. I don't know.
The saddest thing about the ending for me was the family members waiting to see
that people were
the
angry
one
about
person that.
That
returned.
Yeah. On the History vs. Hollywood, they said that the family members were angry that the movie didn't show any of what they went through after. Like the movie stops like right after this.
Yeah.
Like he walks in, they see he's the lone survivor, and then they show him like a year later and that's that. And then they don't show anything else. All right.
All right. Welcome back if you skipped ahead.
Has that been 2 minutes?
Almost. Yeah, 10 seconds.
All right.
Nine, all right.
Eight.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. All right.
All right.
1,000.
Welcome
all right.
back.
Yeah, welcome, back.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back.
So you said you wanted to ask me a question about why I didn't like somebody. Who was it?
Let's get I've been thinking let's about get into, that ever since. We'll get into the topic then. Oh. We're gonna discuss the season of Shameless.
Okay.
So to start off, I'm gonna ask you, what is your disdain for Ruby Modine?
Oh God, the hideous troll monster.
One, I don't think she's.
I don't. Okay, one. Oh, dude, she's like a Walmart six at best. And two, but that's not. I don't.
Sorry
I don't,
to our listeners that work at Walmart.
No. Well, not Walmart. Like I'm talking about the people that go to Walmart. You ever heard of it? She's like a Walmart five. Like,
people of Walmart. Mm-hmm.
A Walmart. See,
usually,
a Walmart ten is like
say like a mill five.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But Walmart mill, whatever. Same thing. It's like, but I don't.
I don't think
hate
she's
her.
Ugly in any means. I don't think she's like gorgeous by any means either.
Dude,
I think she's kind of a normal looking chick.
By normal, you mean like chicks with giant Cro-Magnon foreheads and smash noses. I don't know, but that's not why I don't like her. I mean, I love Kathy Bates. We talked about Kathy Bates. I love Kathy Bates.
Oh, she's hot.
Not a looker. Did you ever see About Schmidt?
Yes.
Oh, great scene. Great hot tub scene there.
Yep.
I don't like her. I don't think she's a very good actress. I don't like her character. And I think that it has a lot to do with Lip being so infatuated with this chick that is totally a shit character. Well, she's not a bad person, but just move on. You can do better.
I don't think he is infatuated with her. I think
after the season finale, we find out that he's not. But
I think the whole season, it's built up to everything involved in his life is rescuing someone and having to deal with everybody else's problems. So it's not her that he's infatuated with. It's saving her, helping her.
Right. And in turn, bringing him down and consuming all his time. He's addicted to drama.
That's basically the whole season for Lip is his coming to terms with, I need to quit trying to help everybody else. It's ruining my life, bringing me down. I can't focus on my own shit when I'm worried about everybody else's.
Absolutely. All right, so I don't hate Ruby Modine. I don't like her character. I don't think she's a very good actress.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Fiona's story this season has been all about her building, her apartment building that she's renting out. And in the last few episodes, you see this guy that fell off the roof, broke his leg, is now suing her. And they've holed up in her apartment, which I thought was kind of ridiculous about them locking themselves in there. And end of the show, she...
All she had to do was call the police.
Right.
All she had to do was make one phone call to the police. The police would have came and said, she said, they never signed a lease with me. They're squatting in my apartment.
Yeah.
The cops would have arrested them.
To wrap up Fiona's story for the season, she gets them out. They leave. She gives them a few grand payoff money and whatever. So I think her story kind of fell flat for the end of the season. Lips was good.
Lips' story was great, I thought, especially because of how it ended.
Lips' story
Frank,
was good.
Let's go over Frank and Carl, which I want to know. Let's talk about Carl first. Did you see any of the parallels that I believe the show was drawing between Carl and Frank? With the chick that Carl was...
Crazy Monica?
Monica, yes. I think the show was trying to... And I think in the end, Carl made the right decision.
Yeah, I didn't put that together.
Yeah, I haven't read anything about it. Like, I don't know it for a fact, but I believe that the insane chick that Carl is married to now,
it's not legal. He's only
marriage,
like 16.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that they were trying to draw a parallel from the first few episodes of the season where after Monica died, Frank talking about how crazy Monica was and how Frank could have been successful like his brothers. Frank has brothers who are all very successful. We saw it in the first couple seasons. Actually, one of them is Ian's real dad, which I think a lot of people forget that. Frank is not Ian's dad.
Right.
So I think that all the talk about how Monica was and then the introduction to Carl's girlfriend and then eventually his not legal wife was the Frank and Monica story relived, but with...
Carl made the right decision to say, I'm going back to school.
Yeah, and he knew
the episode for him ends, the season ends with him going back to military school.
Which really made me happy because in typical Shameless fashion, I didn't think they were going to do that, and I'm happy they did.
Right. We've got Frank. Gosh, he really didn't have much of an end to the season. I mean,
he didn't, but this was the first this was like the first time that I don't think he did anything awful.
He did. Now, this was a good thing, I guess, but my favorite scene, I think, ever with Frank was him cutting off Debbie's toes. I love the way he just strolled in, snipped the toes off, walks over to the stove, lights a cigarette, starts heating up the knife to go cauterize it. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
It was probably my favorite Frank scene of the whole series.
Yeah. Yeah, Frank didn't really have a big impact until he's not like he's seeming to not be as shitty a person as he used to be, which
I think we're seeing kind of the whole family be not shitty people.
Yeah.
Frank turns back to being shitty, trying to rob Liam's friend's dad.
Oh, I completely forgot about that. Yeah, Liam, that was bad.
Tells him the wrong code.
Yep.
And
almost gets him caught.
Liam says, "It's my friend. I don't want you to steal from him," basically. Yeah.
Yeah. And Frank tried to justify it by saying this guy is like a hedge fund manager. He steals from people. It. He deserves it. And
we're like Robin Hood. He said, "So are you going to give all this money to the poor?" It's metaphorical.
Yeah, yeah. But Liam has made good choices. Yeah.
Debbie,
she's doing her best.
Yeah, she is.
She's a scab. But she's doing her best. She worked as a scab, but she's doing her best.
I was trying to think of like the season wrap up for Debbie, and I don't think there really was one.
No, just continuing to go to school. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Welding school. And then we've got Ian. Hold on. Let's backtrack. We'll hit Ian last.
He was the main focus of the entire season. Because
you've got
Fiona.
Svetlana.
Yeah.
And we talked about Fiona, but Svetlana, Kevin, and V.
I meant Veronica.
Oh, yeah, okay.
V.
Yeah.
Kevin and V,
they've never had like season wrap ups. They're just the neighbors. Svetlana, I guess she did get married at the end, right?
Yeah, to the old billionaire.
But there was a prenup that she didn't know about.
See, and I find why would Kevin not tell her? Because he knew and then walked down the aisle. Like, he could have said at any time, "Hey, you know there's a prenup? Mm-hmm. You really should marry this guy." Because if he... Yeah, but if he dies, the prenups mean nothing if the person dies. Just divorce. Prenups only protect in divorce.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Well, even...
Yeah, Will's handle death
still,
prenups.
Yeah, you can still... He could still make his will and leave her nothing.
Correct.
So, I don't know. But anyways, I thought that was just kind of, the Svetlana story. I did like how Veronica, V, and Kevin kind of befriended her again, and they're back kind of working together. I didn't like them fighting with her.
Neither did I, because they were in the wrong.
I agree.
Svetlana only tried to protect them and wanted a... She wanted the alibi to... Now, having it be a Russian bar instead of, like, a neighborhood bar, that was dumb.
It was funny. I mean,
it was funny, but it was dumb. They could have compromised something with that, like, have, like, a Russian day, like, one day a week or something.
Well, they did... At one point, they broke it into hours, like, half of the day it was
But
Russian,
they were still fighting.
Yeah, they
like,
were.
Like, it wasn't... Right. Was it ecumenical? Yeah, like, where both parties agree to it. This was, like... There was a lot of anger there, and because she essentially stole the bar from V and Kevin, but...
First, I don't care if the word was right or not. I think ecumenicable might be the name of the episode.
Really?
I don't know.
Oh.
I said, I don't know if the word was right
episode.
Or not. Yeah.
Oh.
No, I'm saying our episode.
Yeah. But regardless, I'm glad that wound up having a happy ending, but we'll see. I hope Svetlana's not gone off the show, because I like Svetlana.
Yeah,
she's been my favorite character on the show for a while.
Plus, I think she's really foxy.
No, she's, super thick. She's foxy. All right.
Ian.
The main focus of the entire season has been Ian.
And I thought it got ridiculous.
Borderline stupid.
Yeah. I mean, I love the fact that he was fighting for the... homosexual or the LGBT community, especially the conversion therapy, trying to get the kids out of there and stuff. But there were times that I think he was way overstepping his boundaries. Like one time he goes in there and these kids are 14, 15 years old and they have homes that they live in and their parents are sending them to conversion therapy, which is terrible.
It's child abuse.
Completely think that's terrible. But he goes in there and he says, you guys want to get out of here? Come on, I got a place for you. And he takes him to a homeless shelter that isn't even commissioned, like licensed to live in yet. It's like, okay, now you're taking these kids out of homes. Granted, not in my terms or Vince's terms, loving homes, but put them in a homeless shelter.
Some people would say a homeless shelter is better than an abusive home.
Yeah, but he didn't even tell these kids, I've got a homeless shelter that's not even finished for you to come stay
in. True.
He didn't even tell them that. It was, come on, I got a place where we're all staying. And so I thought that was a little under false pretenses.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
And then you've got the issue with the one kid in the second to the last episode where...
Conflicting stories.
Yeah.
The first time we saw conflicting stories where right. Ian didn't know for sure.
The kid says, my parents hate me. They're sending me the conversion therapy and all this. They're trying to pray the gay away and stuff. And the dad tells Ian, we don't care that he's gay. We care that he's prostituting himself and using drugs. We just want to get him out of this environment. We don't care that he's gay.
And they said that he has been diagnosed with
bipolar
disorder.
Bipolar.
And I thought schizophrenia.
Yeah, maybe.
And so, like, they're saying, like, he's not right in the head and he's whoring himself on the streets for drugs. And he's 14.
Ian just takes the kid's word for it.
Yeah. And which you got to investigate that a little bit, not just blow the dad's van up. You know what I mean? Like it was.
I thought the whole celebrityness of the gay Jesus got ridiculous. I mean,
I don't know. People idolize. Think I was just reading on Facebook right before I came here how brave it was for Kim Kardashian to put nude selfies on Instagram just like 2 days ago. Like, and so people will idolize anything, and a guy fighting pray the gay away, like that whole mindset. I don't think that was blown out of proportion. I think it was very realistic in the fact that, yeah, like that community could hoist him up as like their spokesperson. Yeah. Look at how the conservatives did with that Milo Yiannopoulos or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And Ben Shapiro. Those guys, when those guys speak, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of conservatives that come out and listen to these people speak. And also
And those protest. Are guys that probably believe in conversion therapy.
Ben Shapiro does not, and neither does Milo Yiannopoulos. But
I would have assumed that
But they do think being gay is a mental illness.
Milo is gay.
Ben Shapiro thinks it's a being trans. They both think trans is a mental disorder. They call it trans. I forget the name, but it's something from like the 40s and 50s, and they still cling to that like it's a mental disorder, and it's. And I've heard that Ben Shapiro guy speak about it, and the guy is just an asshole. But
so, wrap up Shameless here.
Overall, better than the last two seasons. It's still not where it was when it started.
No, like, absolutely
how good it
not.
Was when it started.
But it was an entertaining season.
It was. I was entertained with it. I watched every episode and wasn't bored with any of the stories.
Yeah.
I was finally
excited to watch Shameless again. I mean, looking forward to Sunday nights. For Shameless.
I mean, there were like last season and the season before that, there would be times where I wouldn't like it. It would premiere on Sunday. I might not watch till Friday.
Yeah.
You know, or catch two at the same time because,
you know, I would really like to see Joan Cusack come back though.
Oh, so would I. I think that's really when the show went downhill when
maybe
Karen and Joan Cusack left the show, which she was the best part of that show.
And
for
Mandy.
A long time.
I liked Mandy. And
who's Mandy?
Mandy was,
what's his name's sister?
Mickey's sister.
Yeah, yeah. I liked
Mandy and I like Mickey a lot too.
Well, she's on the Path now.
Yeah. No. What'd you say? The Path?
Path.
Yeah. No. Which is coming back fairly soon.
Soon. Yep.
Probably in February.
February. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So that wraps up Shameless. We got a release date officially for Game of Thrones.
Is that? I posted that on the Facebook site. That was off a fan site, and I checked to see if that was legit, and so apparently it is.
April 19th,
2019. So
now I have to try to live long enough to watch the ending of Game of Thrones so far away.
It is.
I mean, if I die before then, I'm going to be really pissed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you should be.
All right. So what now?
The post.
The post? All right, we can do the post.
The fence post.
It still didn't get any better, did it?
Basketball post. Posts in basketball.
All right. I was talking about a TV show last week or the week before when I started snoring. I said snooze fest.
No.
That was a post.
Yeah. It was really boring. It was an important movie, though, I think. That
not very historically accurate.
Really?
Nope.
I didn't History vs. Hollywood this one.
People from the Times were furious with this movie, saying that this isn't a story of the Washington Post. This is a New York Times story. We're the ones that went through everything, not the Post. They villainized Nixon here when Nixon was not against them publishing the papers until he was advised otherwise. At the end where he's banning the Washington Post, never happened.
Those were real recordings of him.
He did not ban the Washington Post.
Him saying no person from the Washington Post will ever step foot in the White House again. Or is it, that was a real recording. I read that all those sound clips of Richard Nixon, those were all real recordings of Richard Nixon.
History vs. Hollywood said that didn't happen.
Well, I don't know for sure. History vs. Hollywood,
like I said, he wasn't even against the Post publishing those papers. He was the only reason that he decided, like, he was advised to fight it. And he didn't want to, but then he decided. Now remember, Nixon was trying to end this war, the Vietnam War, and none of this stuff was damning in the least bit to Richard Nixon. He was trying to protect Lyndon Johnson and John Kennedy when he decided to take a stand against that stuff being published.
Okay.
He was trying to protect those two. And this movie made him out to be 1,000% the villain.
Yes.
And it basically wasn't the case.
Okay. I didn't know anything.
And then at the end of the movie, they show Watergate like it was the next day. In actuality, that was a year later.
No, I don't think it was. I knew what it meant. I knew it was. It was the next big thing.
You didn't know it was a year later, though.
I knew it wasn't the next day. Well, I knew it was down. I knew it was down the line.
Yeah, that would have been rather.
I knew it was down the line. I knew they were trying to say it was the next big thing that happened. I didn't. Yeah, I don't think anybody would have watched
like
that.
It was pretty soon afterwards.
It was. It was only a year later.
A year. That's a long time.
No, it's not. No, threatened is a year long time.
Nah.
No, I don't. All think right, so.
That's why you're going to live to see the premiere of the next season of Game of Thrones.
How long was Nixon president?
I don't know. 8 years? Was he elected twice?
No, because he was impeached.
Oh, right. You're right. He was impeached. I don't know. How long?
I don't know. Oh. I was asking you. Oh. I thought you'd know.
Was he elected twice?
Was he impeached, though? I think he got in trouble and resigned before anything.
Yeah, maybe he resigned.
He was impeached
and
resigned.
I think he was impeached.
He was impeached and then resigned.
Impeachment is just basically the trial.
Yes. Impeached means being brought charges against the president is impeached. And so I don't know how long he was president for, but he did resign.
All right, talk about the Post a little bit. I'm going to find out how.
Post, I did think the acting was really good. Good performances by Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep. Also,
did you say you thought it was very good or didn't think it was very good?
The movie? I thought it was boring. I said good performances.
Okay.
By Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep, Bob Odenkirk.
I wasn't that impressed with Meryl Streep's performance. She's like the most overrated actress in Hollywood.
No,
I don't know.
Meryl Streep could play you in a movie.
Isn't that who Trump was talking about when he said that? That was a joke. I like Meryl Streep. I just didn't think that.
Meryl Streep could play Sretton in a movie. And the story of Sretton, Meryl Streep could play you and win a fucking Academy Award for it. She's that good. But she didn't blow me away, but she just did what she does. She just played the part and she did it well. Also, Bob Odenkirk, I think I said that already, was good. And also, what's his name?
All right, 5 years. He was president for 5 years. Mm. So basically, if you live to be 100, a fifth of your life is 20 years. That was only a fifth of his presidency. That's a long time. It's like 20 years.
That's a weird formula you just
That is a weird formula. Okay, well let's go with all of time. 14 billion years. A year is a blink. So no, I mean, it was the next day.
5 years in dog years.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that when they showed that Watergate scene, I don't think they were implying this was the next day. I think they were just saying, because the line before that was, who knows when the next story will come out or whatever, something along those lines. And then it was the Watergate thing. So they were just trying to say that not long after this, Watergate. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, movies about, I guess, the White House trying to suppress.
Matthew Rhys?
Yeah, from The Americans.
The real person, all charges were dropped. He was tried for basically...
Espionage.
And they had illegally wiretapped him. They had illegally searched his apartment. So basically the case was dismissed because of that stuff, and he never served a day.
Good.
Well, I mean, he was probably in jail leading up to the trial.
Yeah.
But basically the case was dismissed.
And I think they should have been. I mean, it was the government lied.
All the papers that he stole were declassified.
Okay.
I mean,
after the fact. But yes.
Stole them, they were top secret.
Yeah.
But after the fact, they declassified everything.
I don't know. I'd say this movie, you can miss it.
I've talked about this a lot when talking about true stories. I don't think this was a story that even needed to be told. I didn't see a whole lot of relevance to it. I mean, they wanted to make Meryl Streep look like this big revolutionary woman, which maybe she was, the character Graham, Graham.
Yeah.
In terms of a woman being the head of a big corporation or something, as the Washington Post, which I guess was more of a smaller newspaper until they went public.
Yeah.
On the stock exchange. And she did that, which is huge. But I don't know that they'd... I guess it would have been more meaningful if the movie was more about that and less about this.
I think this was a freedom of speech anthem.
Yeah,
I really
do.
And
I think it might have been better as a woman's rise to power thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not what we got. So like I said, I think the Post, I thought it was a snooze fest. The story really wasn't that good. Yeah, that's all.
Right.
Let me just give it. All right.
I think you skip it as well.
I said miss it.
Oh, skip it, miss it, whatever.
Yeah, miss it.
All right.
Let that miss you.
Got Goldberg on Arrow, or on Flash.
Yeah.
I love Goldberg. Are you not a Goldberg fan?
Did you mean Goldberg the wrestler, or Goldberg from The Mighty Ducks?
The wrestler.
I know. Yeah, I saw the episode.
Well, a couple episodes now.
I didn't watch last night's.
Oh, okay.
So,
you want me to spoil it for you?
No,
I won't.
No, I don't give a shit. But yeah,
actually, it was a pretty.
The last two episodes were good. Well,
did he spear anybody?
No, he didn't. He did kick some ass. I think we already talked about Goldberg on Flash.
Yeah, last week.
Yeah, I think we did. But
good episode?
Man.
Was last week's or yesterday's episode good?
Yeah, you know, you had did you see the previews?
No.
We're 2 inches tall, Caitlin, because Cisco and Dibny get shrunken down. It's pretty funny. They get shrunken down, and he yells, "We're 2 inches tall, Caitlin," and Dibny goes, "Yeah, now I'm Cisco size."
That's pretty funny.
And then of course there's more Harry and Cisco stuff, which is cool. Big ending though.
Okay, I want to watch it. Yeah, but Arrow, no bueno, dude. Supernatural, no bueno.
Nothing happening. A lot of filler episodes this season.
Did you know that there's going to be a spinoff of Supernatural?
The girls.
Yep,
I've heard the rumors.
Yeah, I guess that's official now. I forget what it's called, but it's like the Wayward Sisters.
Yeah, Wayward Sisters or something. Yeah, you've got Jody and the blonde girl who was just recently the blonde. I like Jody.
Is that the sheriff, right?
Yes, with
the
shorter,
one who's been there forever. Yeah.
Yeah,
I like the blonde. I think she's cute and funny. And
Castiel's
real
human's
daughter. Human daughter. Yeah, Novak, Karen Novak.
Yeah, and then the girl that is the psychic
from Letterkenny.
She's
from Letterkenny. Yeah, she's Wayne's girlfriend in the last two seasons of Letterkenny.
Hi, Wayne. Hi.
Yeah. How are you now? Oh, not so bad.
So
good, and you?
Supernatural and Arrow have both been slow.
Real slow.
Arrow, it's kind of par for the course. This is a little odd for Supernatural to have so many filler episodes.
Yeah, we haven't seen the Nephilim in three episodes?
Probably.
And then
and
this Thursday,
mom,
I don't think that we'll...
Well, the Nephilim's in... Jack is in the other universe with Mary Winchester right now.
I got a crush on Mary Winchester. Yeah, I think she's cute.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, for an old lady.
Yeah, we haven't seen Lucifer or Crowley. He's been gone all season.
He's done.
Is he?
He's done.
I've been hoping he's coming back.
No, he's done.
Damn it.
Yeah.
My favorite character.
Yeah.
One of the... Yeah. Maybe the second best TV villain of all time. Number one being Boyd Crowder.
Absolutely. Did you see when Sam would call Crowley, it would say Moose?
Yeah.
And when Dean would call him, it said not Moose?
Well, there were times when Crowley would be talking to them, and he'd be like, all right, I'm sexting you now. He's just texting them. I love Crowley.
Crowley was great. He was great. He was great as Jasper on Firefly back in the day. That actor, and he's a really good drummer too. Him, Dean Winchester, the guy who played God on Supernatural,
Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck. They do covers. Yeah. Like when they're all together, they get together and do Skinner covers and shit. Dean's got a really good voice, which is funny because we've heard Dean sing a few times on Supernatural,
and
he sounds awful in real life. Jensen Ackles, he's got a really good voice, but now he just wants to make
Misha, Jensen, who the hell's naming these kids?
Yeah.
What's the name of the other guy?
Which guy?
On Supernatural.
Crowley? Sam and Dean?
Jensen.
Jensen
Ackles and Jared Padalecki.
Yeah, Jared Padalecki. I just read an article. Just heads up, we might get our hands on some of the beer.
Jensen Ackles.
Yeah, yeah. His family just opened a
brewery with the guys from fucking Duck Dynasty. I want none of their fucking beer.
Oh,
fuck Duck Dynasty.
Well,
no. Hey. No, it's all right. We can have their beer. And
I thought they were separate.
Have Jensen come out and bring some beer, and he can sit in on the show.
I'd like to hang out with Jensen Ackles, but he can leave the Duck Dynasty guys where they're at.
I don't know. It's together.
Yeah.
Dude, for like 12 years, I've wanted to see Jensen Ackles in something else. I want him to do more.
He was in My Bloody Valentine.
Never seen it.
It was good. It was a good remake. I mean, you know, it's a remake. It was My Bloody Valentine 3D. It was, I saw it in the theater with the 3D goggles. And there's a scene where there's an old man on the porch and he's got a big side-by-side shotgun.
Double barrel?
And, yeah.
Is that what you mean, side-by-side?
Yeah. Well, double barrel can be up and on top of each. Stacked.
I've never seen them stacked. I've only seen them side-by-side.
Yeah, stacked and up and down. Okay. Or stacked and side-by-side. Yes. Side-by-side double barrel shotgun. And he passed it like this, like in front of him. And the 3D was so good that it looked like the barrel of the gun was about to touch your nose when he swiveled it. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. He swiveled it. And I was like, and everybody in the theater kind of jumped back because it was so good. The 3D was really good in that.
That was like an Avatar in the one scene where there's an explosion and something comes flying towards the camera, like bouncing a couple times. I saw that movie like five times in the IMAX, and every time I dodged to my left to try to dodge that piece.
I'm sipping on an eggnog IPA, and Evil's...
an IPA?
IPA.
You sound like you've been watching Letterkenny a lot.
I haven't. How are you now? This is the creamiest beer I've ever had in my entire life. This is just like eggnog cream with alcohol. It's very good. It's not too hoppy. The eggnog cuts through it.
Some cream in there with it.
Oh, that's nasty. But no, it's really good. Really good beer. When Chris starts to drink it, he'll tell you what the brewery is because it's on the can. I've never heard of the brewery before.
Well, you might want to get the can because we're
I can do that. You, what are you talking about now?
What do we go to next?
We did both movies, the TV show we wanted to do. Do you want to go into homework and revisit, or do we miss it? Are we missing something? Oh, no, I wanted to talk about Accident Man.
All right, go ahead. I'll grab a beer.
Okay. Accident Man is a movie starring Ray Stevenson, who I've always liked Ray Stevenson ever since I saw him in the HBO's Rome TV show. He was the Punisher in one of the Punisher movies, I think Warzone. And he was also a villain for a whole season on Dexter. And I think he was probably my second favorite villain on Dexter. And he was in Kill the Irishman, another good movie. Thor. Yeah, he was the big red-headed dude in Thor, like Thor's buddies. And this, oh wait, Chris got the can. Evil Twin Brewing. I have no idea where it's at. Brooklyn, New York. Evil Twin, I've never heard of him before, but this is an eggnog IPA, and I think it's fucking delicious. Anyway, Accident Man stars Scott Atkins as the Accident Man. It is a group of hitmen that all go to the same bar, kind of like John Wick, but this is more of a comedy action movie, and it's based on a graphic novel. And basically, it follows a guy who is known as the Accident Man because he kills people and makes it look like an accident. And he kills a lot of people in the movie, and it's really cool some of the ways that he makes it look like an accident. Like, he shoots glass into a tire to make this car spin out to hit this guy sitting at a bus stop. And it was really cool. Just really cool how it happens. And there's a lot of good fight scenes. Michael Jai White comes in and does a lot of cool kung fu, as he would say. And you ever seen Black Dynamite?
Please do Black Dynamite as a revisit sometime soon.
I will. I don't think Chris has seen it, so it might be a homework assignment for Chris one day. But Black Dynamite is one of the funniest movies of all time.
Yeah.
But Black Dynamite, I sell drugs to the community. Yeah, so Black Dynamite's in there. He does some kung fu shit. There's a lot of really, really good fight scenes. A lot of the dialogue was really corny and over the top. But in the end, the story was really good. This is an action movie. It was a lot of blood and guts. Some sword fights that were really cool. One of the hit women, trained as a samurai. And it's really good. It's called Accident Man. If you can catch that one, definitely catch it. I really enjoyed it. All right. There was something you wanted to talk about too, right?
Well, we were going to talk about Waco.
Oh, that was the last one. Yeah, Waco. Yeah. Starring Michael Shannon and Taylor Kitsch and Andrea Riseborough.
Who was she?
She was the chick that was pregnant.
Okay.
In the first
episode.
And
we also had... she's been in The Americans. She's been
The curly hair girl.
Yes.
From
but she's got straight
Ozarks.
Hair in this. I kept looking at her saying, who is that girl? She looks really familiar.
Yeah, it was a girl from Ozark.
Without the curly hair, she looked a little different.
Yeah. She's cute though. I like her. And she's good in Americans.
Rory Culkin.
I forgot. Yeah, he was in it. Rory
Culkin. The black haired kid.
Yep. The drummer.
Yeah.
And there's somebody else too. Shay Wingham. He was in Wheelman. He was motherfucker in Wheelman. He was the FBI agent that fucked up in the opening scene.
Yeah, I recognize him. Yeah. Waco is obviously about Waco, Texas, with David Koresh, played by
Taylor Kitsch. Love that guy.
Michael Shannon is... Yeah, I love Taylor Kitsch. Or did you mean you love David Koresh?
I definitely meant I love Taylor Kitsch.
Oh, okay.
Taylor Kitsch is one of those low-key guys that's... he was in Only the Brave. So this is
he was in Only the Brave.
It's a
he was
Taylor Kitsch twofer.
He was Gambit in the terrible X-Men Origins.
No, the Wolverine. Yeah, he was Gambit. That was awful. But
he was in Lone Survivor, played Mike Murphy. Might have been Matt Murphy. I'm getting it wrong, but I think it was Mike Murphy, which actually in that movie,
Ben Foster played that guy.
That was Axel.
Okay.
Because Murphy is the one that went up to send the signal and got shot and killed. And they named that
Yeah,
that
we talked
ridge,
about that when
Murphy's
we talked about Lone
ridge.
Survivor. Yeah. Great movie. If you haven't seen Lone Survivor, check that out. It's a great movie. Are you fucking Taliban? Are you fucking Taliban right now? I'll fucking kill you. Are you fucking Taliban? That's my Mark Wahlberg impersonation. How was it, by the way?
You shouldn't have said that. People would have thought he was here in studio.
Was it good, at least? Are you fucking Taliban?
It's pretty good.
Are you fucking Taliban? The dude just had scene at the end when the guys come in. I will fucking kill you, Taliban? All right. It's the way he kept saying Taliban.
What's the M. Night Shyamalan movie where the plants kill everyone?
The happening. What's happening?
We actually talked about this a little bit when you stepped out during the last show to talk.
And, we said we will not name that movie, and we just did.
Yeah, I kept saying,
what's happening? Why are all these trees killing us? Why are they so mad at us?
No. It's that scene where they crash at the old lady's place, and she's like, you're not going to kill me in my sleep, are you? And he's like, no, I would never do that.
And here's the thing. I like Mark Wahlberg, man. I like his role in The Departed, like, was one of the best.
You know, everybody can impersonate Mark Wahlberg. Everybody can impersonate Arnold Schwarzenegger. Those are like two of the ones that everybody can do.
Dude, Andy Samberg does the best Mark Wahlberg, though. And then when he impersonated him to Mark Wahlberg, and Mark Wahlberg threatened to kill him, was like, it was a skit on Saturday Night Live. And it was good. But anyway, Taylor Kitsch. What a digression. Taylor Kitsch plays David Koresh. How about that hair, dude? How about that fucking hair?
He looks just like him, man.
He looks just like him, dude. He even lost a little bit of weight. Like, I mean, he's super scrawny. Like,
yeah, he is.
Like you can see it in his face.
He was a little thinner in Only the Brave, too.
Yeah.
Like, I almost didn't recognize him at first because he looked a little too thin.
Yeah, he was pretty jacked in John Carter. Mm-hmm.
And also...
From Mars.
True Detective. Yeah, True Detective.
Yeah. Yeah, Taylor Kitsch has been around. He's been in a lot of things. People don't know who he is. He's usually a supporting role. And in the one time he gets a starring role, John Carter from Mars, biggest flop in cinema history.
But
one
I thought it was a really good movie.
I love that movie.
Really?
John Carter?
One I didn't watch because it was such a flop.
Great fucking movie. Great movie. Good cast. Great movie. Movie costs like $500 million to make and...
He got famous from Friday Night Lights. You guys should probably check it out.
Oh, God.
We've been told to. Somebody told us to watch that. I can't.
You know what? That old chestnut is getting a little old.
It's only the second time I mentioned it.
Okay.
Michael Shannon plays a FBI negotiator.
Yep.
We see, and I can't remember, think if you can.
We've only seen episode one.
The situation that they get into with the man where his son was killed. That's actually known as something. The negotiation he goes to where the guy was holed up.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've never heard of that situation
Something
before.
Ridge? Ruby Ridge? Maybe?
That's what it was called.
Okay. Because you say Ruby Ridge to people that are big gun enthusiasts.
Okay.
They know exactly what you're talking about.
Really? Yes. I didn't know that. Okay, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So that is a well-known documented thing.
Yes.
Like, where a sniper accidentally kills this guy's
wife. Yes, I actually
knew
of that story before I watched this episode.
Okay, well, that negotiator was there.
Apparently.
Yeah, I didn't. Did you know that?
No.
That was the same negotiator that does the Waco thing?
Yeah.
Well, we don't know.
It's true.
We don't know.
I mean, they might have used, who knows, maybe Michael Shannon is one of those fictional characters that is thrust in to represent FBI.
All negotiation. Yeah. Okay. I liked it. What'd you think?
I liked the first episode a lot. We get a couple time jumps, so I mean we see the FBI raiding the compound in the first episode.
Also, if ever you guys want to place the burden of having sex with your loved ones, right. I will bear that burden.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. What kind of a silver tongue must the guy have to convince people to not sleep with their wives?
Yeah, you have to be celibate to live here. I will take the burden of having sex with your wife for you.
Yes, I will bear that burden. Like, this is David Koresh. Like, I mean, like, he wasn't that good looking of a dude, but these guys were celibate in this compound, and he was banging all their wives, and he's like, I will take that burden off of your shoulders.
I don't know how many of the guys were happy about it.
We see one guy who's not. One guy's not. But there's a lot of people there. I mean,
yeah.
He's banging them all.
I mean, you know, at the start of this, I really thought they're making David Koresh look like the innocent guy here, just having a little community. And then late in the episode is when they get to that stuff about I'll bear the burden of having sex with your wife.
Yeah, he starts.
And you're kind of like,
culty.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
They're finally showing that this guy is kind of
a cult leader. And he's a cult leader and also the worship of him. Like the people worshiping him.
They didn't show that early on. It was just like he was a preacher. That's all it was in the early
episodes.
But then
it gets to the point where they start calling him the Messiah.
Yes.
His visions.
Right.
But this was episode one.
And
we'll
that's
see
what I was talking about. In the beginning of the episode, like the first half of the episode, I thought they were going to make it look totally like it was all the FBI's fault. These guys were doing nothing wrong. David Koresh was a great guy. But as we got deep into the episode, you realize it looks like they're going to play it pretty even keel.
Wow. Bark, bark. Woof, woof.
Yeah, mics probably can't hear that, though, so you sound like a psycho right now.
That's a dog. There's a really loud dog in the building.
Yeah, you might hear that.
I think that's pretty loud.
Hey, enjoy the ambiance, listeners. Yeah,
we're real. We're real people. We recorded a studio where there's a dog going nuts. All right, next
so
to us.
Yeah.
Waco.
Waco, check it out.
It's definitely cool. Check it out. Fucking, yeah. It's on demand. The first episode's on demand. And I don't know what night that airs, but.
Friday, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know. But six-part miniseries.
That's a guess. It could be Monday or Tuesday.
I hope Taylor Kitsch gets nominated, because maybe that'll put his name out there more and give him some more stuff. And he won't just have to be like, oh, that guy, I've seen that guy once before. But yeah. All right. Homework revisit?
Yeah, homework. I gave you...
Straw Dogs.
The original, not the remake. Original, yeah. Not the James Marsden.
See, I look at it more as the Alexander Skarsgård one.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, he was the biggest, I mean...
Yeah, but I think James Marsden was the lead character.
Yes. Yeah, he was the... He was...
Dustin Hoffmonica. Oh, wait, that's the Adam Sandler Happy Hanukkah song.
Oh, yeah. All right, Straw Dogs. I watched the original years ago.
Killing it tonight, Chris.
I watched the... This movie is about a man and a wife. A man is a mathematician. He's working on science-y stuff. And he is married. He is married to the most annoying woman that I have ever seen in a movie. Now, this is the original. In the remake, Kate Bosworth was the wife, and she was
the
wasn't
most
even
annoying actress.
She wasn't a drop in the bucket compared to the actress. Something George, Sarah George.
I don't
maybe,
know,
was
but
the actress.
I hate Kate Bosworth as an actress.
She was better. She like I'm not gonna say that I thought the original was better than the remake, or the remake was better than the original.
I'll say the original was better than the remake.
I don't. Why? I thought so. Why?
I don't know. I just liked it a lot more.
I couldn't.
So
the
in
ending,
my opinion, it was better.
The ending was better in the original than it was in the remake. I also liked that he was a mathematician.
Well,
in the
let me say real quick. I also watched the original before they even said there was going to be a remake.
Okay.
So I saw the original years ago.
Well, in the remake, he's a screenplay writer for Hollywood. And so, I don't know. It's not as interesting as a mathematician, I guess. You know what I mean? Like a mathematician doing what he did. And
yeah.
Both movies are good, I think. They both have good and bad points. I think the wife in the original was just so fucking awful at one point, I would have just tossed her out there.
She was supposed to be, though.
Well, in the remake, she wasn't.
Yeah, but in the original, I think she was supposed to be.
In the remake,
because
it was more realistic.
He like, see, and it's been a while since I've seen it, but I remember I liked it a lot, and that's why I gave it to you. But wasn't he like at odds with her, but he still defended her and his home and all that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So like they weren't... She was supposed to be annoying. That's why he was pissed off at her and hated her. Well, he didn't hate her,
but yeah, I know what you mean. But I just found it like, and she did some things that he didn't know about. Like when she took her shirt off before she went and got in the bath or took a shower, she like flashed herself to the guys that wound up later doing horrible things to her.
Yeah.
In the remake, that didn't happen. I don't know. Both movies are good. Watch either one. Do you want the better ending? Watch the original.
I also like the original because of the time it was made. I thought it was really good and almost a little boundary pushing with the time it was made.
Yeah, for sure.
So when if you watch this movie, make sure you realize that the movie was probably made in what, the 70s?
71.
71.
And you see a really, really young Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Which was cool for me, too. I like seeing a young Dustin Hoffman. I hadn't seen anything from him that long ago. So
yeah. All right. Straw Dogs, 1971 and 2011. Both were good. Better ending, definitely, in the 1971. All right. Your homework assignment is, oh, my God. I don't want to talk about it too much, but stars Viggo Mortensen, Frank Langella, and that's pretty much it. You'll recognize some people from here and there. The oldest son, Bodovan. He was...
Is that the actor's name?
No, the character's name is Bodovan. And they explained his name, too. He was in 11-22-63. He was the guy that helped and lived with James Franco. Kind of the ugly dude, the mechanic guy.
Mm-hmm.
He plays Bodovan. And, oh, and I read this after I saw the movie. I think it was on like IMDb facts about the movies and things like that. This is really crazy. All the yoga poses he does in the movie, he learned. That's not a stunt. That's not a professional yoga person doing those.
In what movie?
In Captain Fantastic.
I don't think you said the name.
I haven't because I was waiting.
Oh, okay.
Captain Fantastic is the name of the movie. dude, I like to do my big reveals. Captain Fantastic. So when you see that guy doing all those yoga stuff, that's really him. And I thought that was really crazy because it takes years for most people to learn how to do yoga.
Who's doing
like
the
that.
Yoga stuff?
Bordovan.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I said, he's a young kid.
You're just on your yoga kick because he started going to yoga with the wife.
Yeah. And none of the yoga teachers that teach at the yoga place that my wife goes to could do those fucking yoga poses.
By the way, I just got a gym membership, so I'm about to go get yoked.
Yoked? He's going to be like fucking Jonesy and Riley from fucking Letterkenny, just standing there getting yoked, bro. Dude, 50 burpees, 50 push-ups, bro. So
Captain Fantastic.
And the movie is 2016.
So recent.
Yeah. And Viggo Mortensen was nominated for Best Actor for it. Didn't win. Casey Affleck did. But, dude, this movie is fucking, it blew my mind. It was so good. You want to know anything about it at all?
No, I don't. Because briefly, when you mentioned it, it sounded like any type of talk about it might spoil something. So let's just leave it and I'll watch it.
Okay. Yeah. But, dude. This is another one of the movies you're going to thank me for.
Good. That's the intent of these.
Yeah. Revisit. It's a good one. It's a real good one.
Let's say the name. Train to Busan. Yep. B-U-S-A-N.
Yep.
Korean, I believe Korean movie.
Yep.
All
South
subtitled.
Korean, not Kim Jong-un. There's Korea. In North Korea, and then they used to call it South Korea, but now it's just Korea. You have Korea and North Korea. This is a Korean movie. A lot of good movies come out of Korea. There's a lot of good ones. One that I'm going to give Chris for my next homework assignment. I'm not going to say the name of it, but this one.
This is a zombie movie, and it is far and away the best zombie movie I have ever
seen. Ever made, I think. This movie has won 32 awards. No American awards, but it won like film festival awards, best picture. And this is a zombie movie.
That's the thing,
28 Days Later was like my favorite zombie
probably
movie.
Probably second now.
Yeah, but I saw this movie when it came out.
World War Z. Earlier when we were talking about it, I was gonna say probably my favorite zombie movie, but and then I remembered 28 Days Later.
Yeah.
So World War Z was probably second, but that's in a long list of zombie movies that really aren't that good of movies. I mean, they're entertaining. Yeah. Dawn of the Dead, stuff like that, Night of the Living Dead. They're fun horror movies and stuff, but you get few zombie movies that are movies, good movies.
Yes.
And this one was the best by far, Train to Busan.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Yes, that's how I watch it. I saw it on Netflix.
I haven't seen it in a while.
A guy on work told me about it, so I went home. He said he watched it on Netflix, and I turned it on, and I watched it, and wow, great, great, great movie.
This is a zombie movie that anyone can watch. I think that
if you can read.
Yeah, anyone that can read, yeah. Chris, you said you heard they were making an American version?
Yes, I did hear that. Just in one of these Facebook things about remakes you didn't know that were coming out. And I actually saw, I think they're making a Korean version of First Blood.
That's cool.
And then they're making an American version of Train to Busan. And this list had plenty of remakes in there that I can't remember. But I do remember seeing those.
The movie that I'm going to give you for my next your next homework assignment from me. There is an American version of it, and the Korean version is way better. So I'll give you the option to watch the American or the Korean version.
Or maybe I'll watch them both.
Or maybe you can watch them both. But yeah, Train to Busan is I might watch it tonight or tomorrow. I haven't seen it since I saw it the first time like a year and a half ago.
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah,
the characters were great. The character development through the main character was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Watching him become who he was. Yeah. Absolutely.
Good. All right. So, I mean, Train to Busan is a must watch. You got to watch this movie. Don't be discouraged that you got to read throughout the whole movie, because after the first 15 minutes, you don't even know that you're reading it. You're just doing it. And honestly, I mean, the dialogue, there's not a ton of dialogue. So what's there is important, but I don't know. Maybe there was more than I thought. I just didn't realize that I was reading after a little bit.
A good foreign film will do that to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, yeah. All right. You can catch us on Netflix. No, we're not on Netflix yet. Facebook is what I was trying to go with. Facebook at Pricks on Flicks. That's P-R-I-X on Flicks. I'm Vincent Romero 82 on Twitter.
Excuse it.
Excuse me.
I am Chris Barney 3, K-R-I-S, Barney 3.
No burp.
That was fake, but.
sounded real. So yeah, you can catch us on iTunes under Pricks on Flicks or Green Door Network. Yeah, Green Door Network. And we're also on Stitcher and the CastBox, and you're probably listening to us on one of those right now.
We hopefully still don't have any voicemails. I think we've gotten one, but...
the person left a voicemail told Chris to go kill himself.
Not he didn't specifically. Like, he said anybody that didn't like Bright.
So, which was you, because you are the only person that didn't like Bright.
No, I'm not.
You are.
I'm not.
You turned into
a little bit of pirate there.
You are. You turned into Tommy Wiseau from... I am not.
Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, hi, Mark. You did. Didn't he start anything? Like, I am not.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
I did not.
All right, leave us
a
voicemail.
I did not hit her.
At 219-649-1071. 219-649-1071. Pricks on Flicks at gmail.com.
.com. There used to be the
Yahoo.
Yeah, there was a .com commercial, and they ended with that. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We love you.
Peace, love, happiness.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.